A reflection on the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verses 22-26. Lord, deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. Amen. Maybe I have an odd way of making connections, but this passage always reminds me of The Lord of the Rings. Those of you who don't particularly like the book or the films may wonder what I'm thinking about, but maybe others will have an idea. In the story, two hobbits called Merry and Pippin meet an ent called Treebeard. Ents look very much like trees, but they can walk and talk. When I read about the blind man seeing people, but they look like trees walking, I always think of Ents. I'll return to Ents later. It's always been something of a mystery to me why it took Jesus two goes to heal the blind man and restore his sight completely. I have absolutely no doubt that Jesus could have done it in one go. He had healed other people from a distance, without even touching them. So it's unlikely that he needed to touch this man's eyes twice. It suggests that we are to learn some truth from this event. A person who first comes to faith, maybe having been brought to Jesus by their friends, as the blind man was, will see things differently from before. We use the word see, but of course we really mean perceive in all sorts of ways, not just by using their eyes. A person coming to faith gains a new understanding of people, the world, the future, and so on. Things that were hidden from them are now revealed. It can be a very exciting time. I imagine that first gift of sight for the blind man, imperfect though it was, must have been so exciting and mind-blowing. When he was able to see all the details clearly, he must have been so absorbed by the new experience that he was totally lost in wonder for quite some time. Eventually, it would have become normal to him, but that would have happened over a long period of time, I'm sure. Imagine waking each morning and being able to see. For those of us who came to faith as children, as I did, we may be barely aware that we have nearly always looked at life through God-coloured spectacles. We really know no different. However, those of us who are lifelong Christians, and those who have a Damascus Road-type experience, can gradually find that our sight is no longer clear. We see, but don't look carefully, and in that way, we risk making assumptions. Those of you who wear glasses know that it's necessary to go back to see the optician to get your sight checked regularly. It's usually only when we are given the new lenses that we realise we were not seeing clearly with the old ones. Over time, we adapt to compensate for the less than ideal lenses we have been using. In the same way, we need to return to Jesus at regular intervals to get a fresh touch of his hand on the eyes of our heart if we are to see clearly. However, clear sight has a cost. For the blind man, he would have had to live his life differently, earning his living and not being a beggar, taking responsibility for himself. For those of us who have to adapt to new glasses, it can be uncomfortable and annoying at first. I confess I am wearing my old ones and not my new ones at the moment, as I am more used to them. Jesus can certainly correct our vision and help us to see the world his way, but we have to want this. He won't force us. And seeing clearly is particularly costly in the matter of how we see other people. There are none so blind as those who will not see, as the well-known saying puts it. It's all too easy to put people in categories and then stick with those categories without really looking properly. She's bad-tempered. He always lies. She'd do anything to hurt me, and so on. Seeing clearly may mean we can't hold on to our preconceived ideas, and that can be very uncomfortable. But it might also be a source of joy, as we discover something that was previously hidden. In The Lord of the Rings, Merry and Pippin saw Treebeard as something like a mixture between a tree and a troll. They were afraid of him, as he was huge, about 5 meters high, and could obviously easily have killed them, if he chose. It was only when the hobbits looked into Treebeard's eyes that they saw the personality. They looked into the heart of the Ent, and were no longer afraid. This is how Pippin describes what he saw in those brown eyes, shot with green light. One felt as if there was an enormous well behind them, filled up with ages of memory and long, slow, steady thinking. But their surface was sparkling with the present, like sun shimmering on the outer leaves of a vast tree, or on the ripples of a very deep lake. I don't know, but it felt as if something that grew in the ground, asleep, you might say, or just feeling itself as something between root tip and leaf tip, between deep earth and sky, had suddenly waked up, and was considering you with the same slow care that it had given to its own inside affairs for endless years. Had Pippin not looked closely at Treebeard, he would have missed this insight. Even those who consider that they do not come to snap judgments about others cannot rest on their laurels, but should be prepared to face the fact that even they may make mistakes. Treebeard, like most Ents, did not rush into things. Ents considered carefully, but once they had weighed everything up, they acted decisively and to great effect. Even Treebeard nearly made a mistake by rushing to judge the hobbits, as we hear him explain. "Do not be hasty. That is my motto. But if I had seen you before I heard your voices, I liked them. Nice little voices. They reminded me of something I cannot remember. If I had seen you before I heard you, I should have just trodden on you, taking you for little orcs, and found out my mistake afterwards." Like Merry and Pippin, we need to take the time to look into the eyes of others, to listen carefully to their voices, as Treebeard did, before rushing to judge. Perhaps that way we will become a little more like God, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, forgiving iniquity and transgression. Then, maybe the world will be a more peaceful place. As St. Teresa of Avila says, "Christ has no body now on earth but yours, no hands but yours, no feet but yours. Yours are the eyes through which must look out Christ's compassion on the world. Yours are the feet with which he is to go about doing good. Yours are the hands with which he is to bless men now. Remember, yours and mine are the eyes through which must look out Christ's compassion on the world. Amen."